Do you suffer from an allergy? Common symptoms such as sneezing, burning eyes, difficulty breathing, skin rash, nausea, vomiting, or diarrhea may be allergic reactions. Get your 7-Drops at-home blood test and find out at 7drops.com. That's 7, the number, DROPS.com.
Get what you spray for. Results. Get the lasting control more corn growers trust with Anthem Max Herbicide from FMC. Apply pre-plant, pre-emergence, or early post-emergence to control tough broadleaf weeds and grasses before they cost you. For superior control with a low use rate and long residual, make the easy, high-performing choice. Visit anthemmax.ag.fmc.com to get results. Always read and follow all label directions.
Here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
How many of you, show of hands, be honest now, how many of you found yourself going, well, why is this Trump deal such a big deal? Why are so many people worried about this? I mean, this isn't the first time the left wing's gone after Trump with baseless charges. He's going to beat this, right? Where how many of you were saying, well, this is just the left wing going after Trump. We kind of expect this. It's terrible, but I don't like it because Democrats are doing this. Folks, let me tell you, I am worried about what is going on with President Trump for very, very different reasons. Because of this circumstance that we find ourselves in with Alvin Bragg, a left-wing DA in a state in New York, who is taking it upon himself to ignore precedent, taking it upon himself to ignore the rule of law, because the statute there he's trying to bust up from a misdemeanor to a felony is... the statute of limitations is already out on it, from my understanding. And he's trying to use politics and his hatred of Trump as justification for throwing our system of justice out the window. If this goes through, this will have profound, profound implications about the United States of America. And here's what I mean. If this is allowed to go through, we will have it confirmed. We'll have permanent divisions in this country, and it's going to be open lawfare. What you'll have is conservative district attorneys going after Democrats, left-wing socialist Marxist Democrats going after conservative folks, trumping up charges everywhere, and pretty soon the justice system won't be worth spit. And without the justice system, we don't have a United States of America. It all comes crumbling down. The only person laughing and smiling at this is Emperor Palpatine, George Soros. That's why he bought and paid for all of these DAs all over the country. His expressed purpose, and I don't even know if you guys know about this part of George Soros, he made his billions off of betting against Western democracies and then working to undermine those Western democracies. He did it to the UK. The United Kingdom is a victim of George Soros. And now he had set his sight on us so many years ago, and it's all part of his evil, dastardly plan, just like his namesake, Emperor Palpatine, did in Star Wars. It's all a long game. It's all a long plan. And folks, the existential threat that this poses to the United States of America can't be overstated. The idea that we're going to have now political persecution and prosecution of our presidents, it's over. There is no guiding principle of justice anymore if you can contort and bend and stretch the law to meet your political needs. Our justice system was supposed to be apolitical, and we worked hard at making it so. But guess what? Guess what perverted it? Democrats, socialists, leftists. They've undermined it every step of the way. So I am very concerned if slash when this pushes through, and every indication is that Alvin Bragg is going to hit President Trump, and he's one of what, three others, one of four total, three other cases out there against President Trump in various parts of the country, and it's all hands on deck to stop him, because they cannot, will not risk ever having an America First president back in the Oval Office. Who do I mean by they? Well, guys like Mitch McConnell and John Cornyn and Chuck Toomer and the Bushes and the worldwide global elites. They've worked very, very hard to bring us down. Folks, I think we're this close. I think we're this close. This happens and millions of Americans have it confirmed that the justice system is dead. And when nobody believes in our system, nobody believes in the vote, it all comes crashing down. Our system was set up on accountability, on checks and balances. When one system of government maybe went a little wonky, it was set up to be countered by another equally able and powerful portion of government. Our founding fathers set up an adversarial situation between the sections of government, so they would always be fighting with each other so as to leave us alone, number one. Number two, the adversarial setup between our system of government, inside of our system of government, was to guarantee there were no huge switches one way or the other. We had to have a national consensus to make sure things were moving in the direction the country writ large wanted it to move in. And that's all going to go out the window. The American people will no longer have any confidence. It's going to be like, well, guess what? The party in power, I'm going to be treated unfairly, and I'm going to accept that because there's a different party in power than the one that I have. And if there's a party in power that is like the Democrats, that party in power will utilize their power to silence your voice. You better get your mind right, or we're going to come after you, take away your rights. We're going to prosecute you and persecute you. It's, folks, it's the end of the country. And I am not being rhetorical. This has that much of a danger of reaffirming. And remember, don't forget, this is what the other side wants. This is what our political enemies want. The end of the country. And by the way, that's not my word, enemies. Joe Biden called me that. Joe Biden called all of you who believe in free and fair elections. He called you all domestic enemies. So I'm just adopting the left wing's language. This is serious stuff. And if this is allowed to go through, I really fear for the future of the country. And I believe it's going to all come apart at the seams if something isn't done to stop it. What can that be? Judge Andrew Napolitano weighs in next on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
The establishment media is out of touch with the real things real Texans care about. Real news for real Texans. That's what Texas Scorecard does every day. Learn more and subscribe for free. TexasScorecard.com/Chris.
Here comes the judge, Andrew Napolitano. He's a former Superior Court judge, syndicated columnist whose work appears in numerous publications, including Washington Times and Reason Magazine. He was a Fox News legal analyst for 24 years, nearly a quarter century, providing keen insight on legal processes. Judge Napolitano, welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Chris, it's a pleasure to be with you, my friend. I've been a fan for years and have been looking forward to our on-air chat.
Well, sir, right back at you. Let me get your analysis on what's happening here. You know, first off, the 30,000 feet view of what's happening to President Trump, courtesy of Alvin Bragg. But I saw that the grand jury reconvened yesterday. Is that odd in your view?
Well, no, it's not odd, because first of all, this grand jury is hearing other matters besides the case against Donald Trump. Remember, grand jury is 23 persons. There's no judge in the room. There's no defendant because no one's been charged. There's no defense lawyer. It's just the prosecutors and their witnesses, usually police and detectives, just coming in, laying out a case, and then the grand jury votes. Yeah, there's enough here to indict, or there's not enough here to indict. In the Trump case, the issue is complex and, of course, fraught with politics. So they reconvened because they haven't yet taken a vote. They actually did something very unusual, which was hear a defense witness. That's very, very risky to put a defense witness on before a grand jury, but Trump chose to do it. This witness is someone who, a very, very highly respected lawyer that a lot of us in this business in the New York City metropolitan area know personally or know by reputation, Bob Costello.
Mm-hmm.
Bob claims that at some point in his history, Michael Cohen, Trump's principal accuser, whispered to him, Trump knows nothing about the payments to Stormy Daniels. I'm doing all of it on my own. Now, is there anything wrong with paying somebody to remain silent if you think they're going to utter an untruth about you, which will defame you? No, there's nothing wrong with it. The question is, was the payment to Stormy Daniels to save Donald Trump's marriage and his peace of mind? Or was the payment to Stormy Daniels done to save his campaign? Because this was done the last 2 weeks of October 2016, when the whole world, including Donald Trump, thought that Hillary Clinton was about to beat him, and when the Access Hollywood tapes had just come out. Because Michael Cohen was reimbursed by corporate funds, that's a felony for a corporation to pay the debt of a political campaign. But if the corporation's paying the debt of the CEO of the corporation, if it was personal, if it was to save Melania from embarrassment rather than to save the campaign, then it would not be criminal. So the grand jury has to decide why was that money paid, and then the prosecutors have to decide, okay, we got enough to indict. Do we have enough to convict?
Mm-hmm.
This guy's the former president of the United States. Do we really want to drag him through all this if we can't convict?
Right. Well,
those are judgment calls that the grand jurors and the prosecutors have to make.
Well, we know the prosecutors tend to be left-leaning and highly politicized, because that goes to my next question to you, because my understanding is this offense in New York is a misdemeanor. By the way, a misdemeanor whose statute of limitations has run out. The statute of limitations has run out. How does a prosecutor like Alvin Bragg resurrect a misdemeanor, upgrade it to a felony on a statute that is already expired?
Okay, so you must be speaking, if you start the statute of limitations running in 2006, which is when Stormy Daniels claims she had this sexual liaison with then Mr. Donald Trump,
mm-hmm,
in return for a promise by him to put him on The Apprentice. That's what started all this. They didn't put her on The Apprentice, and she got upset with him, and she threatened to go public with it. All right, I don't want to get into the tawdry parts of it. If you start the statute of limitations, which is 7 years running then, obviously it's expired. But the statute of limitations probably would start from the moment the Trump organization began reimbursing Michael Cohen. And that reimbursement began in January of 21, in January of 17, the very month that Trump became president. So if you add 7 years to that, they're still within the statute of limitations. Now, this is the misdemeanor. A misdemeanor, failure to record in corporate books the proper and true nature of an expenditure. This misdemeanor, like all misdemeanors, does not carry jail time. Theoretically, it does, but nobody goes to jail for it.
Right.
However, if the commission of the misdemeanor was to mask or hide a felony, then the misdemeanor is elevated to a felony. What's the felony? The use of corporation funds for a campaign benefit. Michael Cohen has pleaded guilty in federal court to that felony, to orchestrating this scheme whereby Trump corporation funds would be used to pay a campaign debt. The federal judge at the time of Michael Cohen's guilty plea said, well, there's an unindicted co-conspirator in this case who's not in the courtroom. He's in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
yes, the federal judge actually said that. So there's no question that the felony was committed by Michael Cohen, was it also committed by Donald Trump? Did he even know about this was happening while he was running for president?
And there are legal analysts who are saying that Cohen that copped to this, and he didn't have to because technically he didn't break the law. There was no law that was broken, and many legal analysts are pointing to the John Edwards case. The John Edwards case where...
I agree with that analysis, but Cohen had technically pleaded guilty to a conspiracy to break the laws. That's why the federal judge said the unindicted co-conspirator is the guy in the White House.
Oh, good grief.
He actually pleaded guilty to a plan or plot to break the laws. You know, conspiracy is the government's favorite.
Yeah, I know.
Clarence Darrow once said, if a boy steals a dime, he's not going to go to jail. But if two boys conspire to steal a dime and then don't do it, they'll go to jail.
They'll go to jail.
A little bit of an exaggeration, but it makes the point. Conspiracies don't harm anybody if they're not triggered.
Exactly. Judge Andrew Napolitano is our guest right now, folks, providing some legal analysis to this whole case surrounding President Trump, which many regard as a political hit. Let me ask you about the lasting impact on our judicial system, our system of justice, not to mention the political divisions that something like this can have if they push this through.
Well, you know, if they push this through and he's acquitted, their careers are shot, which is why I said there's two judgment calls here. One, is there enough evidence to indict? And those of us in this business have a funny and famous or infamous one-liner, which is that a grand jury will indict a ham sandwich if the prosecutors ask it to, and that's almost literally true. Is there enough evidence to indict? Yes, there probably is. Is there enough evidence to convict? Well, that is a judgment call the prosecutors have to make. They can file all the political prosecutions they want, but if they get an acquittal, if a jury thumbs its nose, if a jury says this is political claptrap, why are you wasting our time? These prosecutors are out of a job, not literally, but practically, they'll be quitting in droves, and the chief prosecutor, the district attorney himself, probably would lose his reelection battle. In New York, the prosecutors, just like the judges, are elected. I come from a system where we have lifetime appointments. That tends to keep politics out. You don't care even about the political forces that helped you to get the job. But when you have to run for office every 4 years, when your political base is the Democratic Party of Manhattan, not even all of New York, just the island of Manhattan.
Right.
That's like San Francisco. That is a very, very, very left-wing place and left-wing base, and you're going to pander to them. When the DA took office 2 years ago, he was presented with this case. He threw it out. He said, I'm not going to go after a Trump. My job is to go after bank robbers and drug dealers and keep the streets clean.
Right.
And then the left pounced on him. The left, which got him elected, pounced on him. And then he caved, and then he reopened the investigation, and now we're on the cusp of an indictment. I mean, those are political arguments, but they're not legal arguments.
Well, that takes me right to George Soros and an analysis that we've been doing and others have been doing about he's found a weakness. George Soros is putting in a lot of district attorneys of ill repute who have been conducting political prosecutions to take out their political opponents, not to mention go soft on the criminal element, unleashing a crime wave that this country has not seen in decades, maybe even in a century. So let me ask you your opinion of George Soros, and I've asked this of several legal experts. What is the antidote to rogue DAs? And everybody tells me it's got to be done in the states because there's no federal role for this. What is your take?
I agree that it has to be done at the state level. The antidote is the New Jersey system. It's not just New Jersey. It's also the federal system whereby they're appointed. And they're appointed from a cadre of very fine law enforcement oriented lawyers. They're not appointed from political hacks. Look at the U.S. attorneys in the United States. For the most part, a far better cadre of professional law enforcement personnel than popularly elected prosecutors. But that would mean that means changing state constitutions.
Mm-hmm.
37 of the 50 states have these people running for office. It used to be they ran for office saying, I'm going to clean up the streets, I'm going to put the bad guys in jail. Now, when George Soros, as ridiculous as it sounds, when George Soros finances your campaign, you say the opposite. I'm going to give everybody a break. If nobody's harmed,
yep.
I'm just going to pat you on the shoulder and tell you to go home. And a lot of left-wing thugs and creeps and crawlers vote for that, and these people get elected. In San Francisco, the most left-wing major city in the country, the prosecutor was recalled. He was voted out of office because even the lefties there had enough of the lawlessness that came about on his watch.
Chesa Boudin, that's who that was.
Correct.
You know what, Judge? Correct. I wasn't going to play this for you, but now since you brought this up, I want to play this for you because it's going to lead to a final question. This is a San Francisco City Councilwoman who voted to defund cops. Okay, she voted to defund police officers, and listen to this was in 2020, I believe. Listen to her. Today, and this is a San Francisco City Councilwoman.
Every time I've asked for more officers, AC Lazar, you've told me you can't get them. They're nowhere to be found. I've been begging this department to give the mission what it deserves in terms of police presence all year long. And I have been told time and time and time and time again, there are no officers that we can send to mission.
She's begging. Judge, she's begging for more officers that she right. voted to defund, and this is the silliness of the left wing.
Okay, so Mission is a neighborhood, mm-hmm. a section of San Francisco, notorious for derelicts and drug dealers. They're trying to yuppify it, but they can't yuppify it without police. I don't want to say she deserves what she gets, because a lot of innocent people are suffering. She doesn't deserve to be in office. Do the police sometimes get carried away? We know they do. Should they have military equipment like the Army does? I don't think they do. But should we have a police department? Should they be paid?
Yes.
Should they be there to protect us? We can't live without it. So she's really learning the bitter fruits of her own crazy left-wingism. Unfortunately, her constituents are suffering because of it.
I've got a minute left. I want to ask you, just 30,000 feet up, DOJ and FBI conduct in recent years, in particular, that we can't get a straight answer out of the FBI about how many assets they had on the ground on January 6th, among other things. Just,
I've been a lifelong friend, or not lifelong, the past 40 years of Donald Trump. The worst mistake he made was appointing Chris Wray, who's Jim Comey with a smiling face. The FBI wow. is a disgrace. It is not your grandfather's FBI. A full generation of FBI agents under Comey and Wray have come of age knowing they can lie, cheat, steal, violate the Fourth Amendment, and get away with it. They need a complete and total housekeeping, house sweeping, house cleaning.
Amen to that. Andrew Napolitano, former Superior Court judge, folks, and somebody we're proud to have on the program giving us some legal analysis. Sir, thanks for the time.
It's a good time of day. I'm happy to be back with you. It's a pleasure, Chris. God bless you.
And you as well, sir. That's going to do it, everybody, for the Salcedo Storm podcast. Visit a couple of websites for me, if you will. TexasScorecard.com. TexasScorecard.com. Big stories they're working on there, including the attacks on our children, the attacks on our border, the attacks on Texas. It's all there for you, folks. Also, check out ChrisSalcedo.com. All of the information on how to track down our shows, The Chris Salcedo Show, on AM 700 KSEV, simulcast worldwide on the TNT radio network. Also, check out the Rumble chats, the Getter chats. That's a live stream of the radio show. And now back on DirecTV, Newsmax, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5, Monday through Friday, always at home in the Salcedo Storm podcast. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth. We don't measure that society's worth by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government. It is only a worthwhile government if power is preserved for you and me. We, the people. See ya.
If the brain is connected to the body connected to the family, and the family connected to the community, where does health begin and where does it end? At the University of North Texas Health Science Center at Fort Worth, we're a premier academic medical center that believes in the bigger picture of health. And we're committed to advancing access, innovation, and ideas to ensure a healthy future for everyone. Learn more at treatboldly.unthsc.edu. If the brain is connected to the body connected to the family, and the family connected to the community, where does health begin and where does it end? At the University of North Texas Health Science Center at Fort Worth, we're a premier academic medical center that believes in the bigger picture of health. And we're committed to advancing access, innovation, and ideas to ensure a healthy future for everyone. Learn more at treatboldly.unthsc.edu.